He was orphaned at age 4. After getting bounced from relative to relative for years, he was eventually apprenticed to a shoemaker. The shoemaker was a God-fearing man, but this young apprentice, he would have none of it. And eventually, this young man lost his way. As the decade of the 1740s was coming to a close, he heard the great evangelist George Whitefield preach a sermon on Zechariah 3:2. Is not this a brand plucked from a fire? And having heard that sermon, Thomas Oliver's became a new creation. This orphan was now a child of God. In a few years, Thomas Oliver's teamed up with the brothers Wesley, and he had quite a ministry of his own. And while not nearly to the extent of John and Charles Wesley, Thomas Oliver's also wrote hymns. While in London in 1770, Thomas Oliver's went to hear a renowned Jewish cantor by the name of Meyer Lion at the Great Synagogue in London. This is a building that would later be destroyed by the Blitz in World War II. Meyer Lion also doubled as an opera singer under the name Max Leone. Oliver's had likely heard Leone sing opera at the Covent Garden Theater, and now he wanted to hear him sing sacred music in the synagogue. That night, Lion sang the Yigdal, a song dating back to the 1400s. It prayerfully speaks of the majesty of God. So moved by the song, Oliver's waited after the service to meet with Lion. In the ensuing days, Oliver set about transforming this Jewish prayer in Hebrew into a Christian hymn in English. He worked with Lion on the tune. The collaboration resulted in a 12-stanza hymn we know as The God of Abraham Praise. Oliver's credited the tune to Lion, entitling it Leone. The first stanza rings out, The God of Abraham Praise, who reigns enthroned above, ancient of everlasting days, and God of love. Jehovah great I am, by earth and heaven confessed. I bow and bless the sacred name, forever blessed. As the stanzas unfold, the God of Abraham Praise reminds us that God is a Trinitarian God. Part of the conversion of this piece from a Jewish liturgical prayer to a Christian hymn involved adding stanzas on Christ and the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the words of the ancient doxology remind us that when we say, Praise God, we are saying, Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This hymn by Thomas Oliver's has another level of richness to it, and this richness lies in helping us think of something else. Now, Abraham first appeared on the biblical scene in the closing words of Genesis 11. He then dominates the next several chapters until his death comes in Genesis 25. Now, we do have the rest of the Bible to see God at work in the lives of his people and at work in his world and revealing to us his character. But stop and consider, though, what we learn about God from the span of Genesis 12 to 25. We learn that God is the God Most High, El Elyon in Hebrew. We learn that he is God Almighty, El Shaddai. We learn that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, told for us in that story in Genesis 22 in Abraham and Isaac. We learn that he is a promise-making, covenant-keeping God. We learn that he will bring judgment on sinners, but we also learn that he is merciful and compassionate. And in the episode with Hagar in the desert, we learn that God is the God who sees, and he is the God who hears. The God of Abraham Praise. As we think of these chapters, we find reason upon reason to praise God, Abraham's God, and ours. I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 minutes in church history. As we finish this week's episode, some wise words from the Puritan Richard Baxter. Most of our walking with God consists in such affectionate apprehensions of him as are suitable to his blessed attributes and relations. All the day long, our thoughts should be working either on God or for God.